It's a heaping helping of today's comedy.
Have you got anything without spam?
Well, spam egg, sausage and spam. That's not got much spam in it.
I don't want any spam.
Comedy 1031.
Hi, this is Gilbert Gottfried, and this is Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast, and we're here at the legendary Friars Club in New York City in the George Burns Room. Our guest this week is an actor, comedian, writer, and producer, the most knowledgeable man in show business.
Oh, Jesus.
Our friend, Robert Wall.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here at the Friars, aptly named because I'm broiling in this place.
We'll see if we could do
what
something
is it, 162 degrees in here?
We'll see if we can do something about that.
Oh, it's awful. It's like yes.
You wouldn't know Jews ran this place. Holy sh... Whoa.
Talk a little bit about approaching Rodney when you were writing for him.
He had a club, Dangerfields. I just started. I think I just became a regular or so at the Improv. And I loved watching Rodney on TV. You know, he was cracking me up down when I was going to school in Houston. We'd always watch Rodney because he had these great jokes. He had the character and everything. And I thought, you know, this is the guy I might be able to write some jokes for. I was writing jokes for some comics in Houston. And so we had the club, Dangerfields. And so one day I go up there, and I said, I got some jokes for Rodney. And he was downstairs in the dressing room. So I go downstairs, I knock on the door. Okay, kid, come on in, you know.
Yeah.
And as Rodney's want, he's naked except for the robe, which is wide open. You know, so I'm looking at this guy. And, you know, and he goes, oh. And so he goes, I go, I got some jokes for you. And he goes, well, you can try them. And he goes, go ahead. I go, okay, I'm all right now, but last week I was in rough shape, you know. Guy comes up to me at the airport. He says, loan me $5 till payday. I say, when's payday? He says, I don't know. You got the job. And he goes, okay, the kid, the jokes are good, but don't do me. Don't do me.
I love
so
that.
So I started getting $50 a joke from Rodney, and then I'm just starting out now. And then the fact that he was using my jokes, a joke or two, on The Tonight Show when he went on there, was total credibility to my parents. Because my father, he's a businessman, and he owned a business, and he couldn't understand, why am I driving at midnight to go to New York 25 miles away so I can go on for nothing?
A reasonable question.
Yeah, exactly. So, but because my joke was on The Tonight Show, it was like, you know, it was credibility. And my mother told me later that they had discussions. What is he doing? He goes, I know it's in his heart. And my mother was very supportive, saying, Sonny, let him do what he does. You know, let him do it. He knows what he wants.
For the complete Gilbert Gottfried's Colossal Podcast, go to SideshowNetworks.com.
I was a bit of a dark kid. My parents were worried about me, so they sent me something to say about your dad. My parents sent me on an 18-week Dale Carnegie sales training and management course. Because what do a 16-year-old and a bunch of salesmen have in common? Turns out we both like to party. And I made some older male friends. I did learn a lot. I learned the four C's: don't criticize, condemn, or complain. Get the person saying yes, yes, yes. And the sweetest sound a person hears is the sound of their own name. Hey, what's your name? My name? Right back at you, your name. And I used that information on my primary customer base, Marilyn and Joel Bamford, my parents. Mom, Dad, may I call you Mom, Dad? Fantastic. Listen, you guys have been doing an amazing job of raising me. Really, just want to get on the same page. Hope you're happy with what I've been putting out there. Great. Okay. Question number one. Do you want to be a success? Yes! Of course you want to be a success. Everybody wants a piece of the pie, am I right? Question number two. In order for you to be a success, wouldn't I, as your daughter, have to be a success? Yes. And what are the odds of that happening, huh? Yeah. Question number three. If I told you for the price of a Greyhound bus ticket, I'd be out of your hair for the rest of your lives. You'd give me that $133, wouldn't you? And that's where me becoming a roadie for REO Speedwagon comes in! They didn't go for it, but,
Maria Bamford.
The Laugh Line 218 Chuckle. Who do you want to hear?
Hello, my name is David, and I would love it if you would play Paul F. Tompkins' bit about the King Hat, because it just kills me every time. Thanks.
My first retail job was a hat store. A hat store by the name of Hats in the Belfry. Weird. Weird applause. Surely the owners of Hats in the Belfry were doing the same thing when they came up with Hat Jim. Let me walk you through that title. You know the expression, bats in the belfry? Meaning something's a little crazy. It's not quite what you expected. And you know hats? Right? Hats. Folks, these four words were combining to let you know this ain't your granddaddy's hat store. This place is gonna be fun. Think about it. What's the number one complaint we all have about hat stores? Boring. If I have to be in hat stores every other day of my life, it should at least be a fun experience. What's really sad is this name actually worked on me. Like, I thought, it'll be fun to work there. I'll tell you who did have fun at Hats in the Belfry was the customers. People would come in by the gaggle. They would ask me to hand them things that were closer to them than they were to me. They'd try on hats and giggle and laugh at each other, take pictures. Nah. Leave everything lying around for me to clean up. Leave without buying anything, pausing only to look over their shoulder and say to me, "You must have so much fun working here." Must I? You are not the boss of me. That other teenager is. Here's when people had the most fun at Hats in the Belfry was trying on our fanciful theatrical hats that were hanging up on the wall. These were costume hats. They would be like an oversized 10-gallon hat or an Abe Lincoln stovepipe or a Roman centurion's helmet. These hats were so much fun. They couldn't be down on the ground where people could just get at them anytime they wanted. Suffer some sort of joy overdose. Hats were hung up on the wall out of reach. And for us to get these hats down off the wall, we, the employees, would take this long wooden pole, and with this pole we would fish the hats out of the heavens and then deposit them in the hands of the waiting fun seekers below. Maybe that's where people thought I was having so much fun working there, because I got to play with a stick. Right? They thought I was like an ape who'd figured out a tool. Oh, he's gonna get some ants on his stick and that'll be his lunch.
Paul F. Tompkins.
It's a great big dose of today's comedy.
There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to adjust it or change the station.
Comedy 1031.
Yes, but I am Vader. I am Lord Vader. Everyone challenges me to a fight to the death. Lord Vader, Darth Vader, I'm Darth Vader, Lord, Sir Lord Vader, Sir Lord Darth Vader, Lord Darth, Sir Lord, Lord Vader of Cheem, Sir Lord Baron von Vaderham, the Death Star, I've run the Death Star. What's the Death Star? This is the Death Star, you're in the Death Star. I run this star, this is a star, this is a star, I run it. I'm your boss, you're Mr. Stevens. No, I'm, who is Mr. Stevens? He's head of catering, I'm not head of catering. I am Vader. I can kill catering with a thought. What? I can kill you all. I can kill me with a thought. Just, I'll get a tray. This one's wet. And this one's wet. And this one's wet. This one is 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 wet. Did you dry these in a rainforest? Why, with the power of the Death Star, do we not have a tray that is dry? I do not... No, no, no. I was here first. You have to form a queue if you want food. Can I have a... Oh, penne alla arrabbiata. That'd be very nice. No, no, no. Do you know who I am? That's Jeff Vader, that is. I am not Jeff Vader, I'm Darth Vader. What, Jeff Vader runs the Death Star? No, Jeff... No, I run the Death Star. You Jeff Vader? No, I'm Darth Vader. Are you his brother? Can you get his autograph? I can't get it. No, I'm Jeff... All right, I'm Jeff Vader. Can I have your autograph? No, or I'll kill you with a tray. Give me penne alla arrabbiata or you shall die, and you, and everyone in this canteen. Death by tray it shall be. Do you want peas with that? Peas? You don't have peas. You can't put it red with... You can't put... It doesn't work with penne. You don't put... Unless you push them up the penne tubes, and then it would be weird. Just... Oh, all right, put some peas on.
Eddie is arts.
2 years ago, I got a job writing at Saturday Night Live. My first week writing at Saturday Night Live, Megan Fox was the host. And you can meet with the host to talk about your sketch. So a producer comes around, said, hey, do you want Megan Fox to come by your office? Yeah. Yeah, I do. Are you creating a situation where Megan Fox has to talk to me? Hell yeah. So there's a dress rehearsal and an air show. And it's more sketches on the dress rehearsal. Whatever doesn't do well gets cut, and then that's the air show. So I had a sketch that made it to dress rehearsal. And when you have that, you sit under the bleachers where the audience is sitting with Lorne Michaels, and you watch it on a monitor, and he gives you notes. This particular sketch of mine was bombing horribly. And during that, I was just practicing acting like my sketch wasn't bombing. Like, hey, chill out, man. It's a slow build. It's a slow build. Relax. It was a slow build to nothing. This sketch bombed horribly. And he usually gives a note. Hey, maybe this person should walk in quick. He didn't have nothing to say. It just was quiet. He said, well, that was conceptually adventurous. I like that job, though. We had interns the job. You tell them to do stuff, and they do it. It's great. You got to be nice to them, though. I had this guy fax something. Hey, man, fax that for me. And I gave him another page. Hey, fax something for yourself, too. I was leaving work one day. I got on the elevator going down and stopped on 3. This man got on and said, thank you. And what are you thanking me for? I don't work on the elevator. This ain't Mad Men. Why are you talking to me? Why are you thanking me to get on the elevator? What is your life like? Are you not allowed on the elevators? Do people usually push you off the elevator? Get off the elevator, Steve. Stairs for you. It's always been stairs.
Hannibal Buress.
This is Altercation Punk Comedy Tour's JT Habersat. I don't want to go off on a rant here, but if you're one of those people that use a Bluetooth headset to have loud stream of consciousness conversations in the middle of public places, you should know that you look like a grade A lunatic. The last thing I need while I'm patiently waiting online for my DQ Orange Julius is to hear you start abruptly shouting out driving directions to your 7-year-old birthday entertainer Thistle the Clown while simultaneously trying to order a gluten-free, non-dairy, vegan ice cream cake for little Timmy and his party hat-clad horde of prepubescent troglodytes. I miss the good old days, when you knew the guy by the bus stop yammering out loud to the apparent wind gods about shipping rates in the stock exchange was simply 1,000% nuts, and not possibly a self-absorbed six-figure earning CEO determined to turn himself into a walking, talking James Joyce novel. Use a cell phone for your conversation like the rest of us commoners and save the invisible headset for the car, or better yet, the shower. I'm JT Habersat, and this was totally not a rant.
It's fabulous! It's today's comedy.
Oh, nothing sexier than that, huh, fellas?
Comedy 103.1.